Thank you for tuning into our special encore of A Fireside Chat with civil rights icon Dr. C.T. Vivian. This is executive producer Melinda Davis, and Dr. Vivian supported and encouraged me to step out in faith to start this radio and podcast network. So with our first show, which he loved, There Is Life After Layoff, with host Alicia Ward and co-host Dr. Regina Ward, and with our crew, we were invited into his home for this intimate conversation. May this episode bless you as it has blessed us. Rest in peace, Dr. Vivian. Well done, well done, well done.
You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too.
Hello and welcome to A Fireside Chat with There Is Life After Layoff. I'm Ali Ward, your host, and I'm joined today by my ever astute, wise beyond her years co-host, Dr. Regina Ward. And we are honored to be in the home of civil rights living legend, Dr. C.T. Vivian. Dr. Vivian, first of all, thank you for opening up your home to us today and for your willingness to share your knowledge and wisdom with us. We are so excited as we sit and chat with you, and I'm sure that my co-host, Dr. Ward, feels the same way.
Dr. Vivian, my cup already running low with the knowledge that you've already supplied to us, so I am very excited to get into this conversation.
Well, I am glad to know that you have just become a minister, right, of the gospel, right? Makes me feel very good about that.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So we really want to take full opportunity of the time that we have with you, so we're going to jump right into our conversation. In 2008, we saw first the election, and then most recently in 2012, we saw the re-election of this country's first African-American president. In your opinion, Dr. Vivian, how far do you think we've come, first of all, since the Civil Rights Movement, since it's been 45 years since the assassination of Dr. King? How far have we come, not only as a people, but also as a country, and how far do you think we still have to go?
First, I want to compliment you on the idea of there's life after, all right?
Thank
after
you.
Layoff, right?
Thank you so much.
Because there's so many people. This president was left with an already done diminishing of our economy, right? Our nation hadn't been in a worse sense since the 1930s, and he was asked to bring it back as
right.
though that it was already good when he got it.
right.
So the layoffs, right?
Right.
And and there's life after layoffs, both for us because of the good ideas you have in the book, and there's life after layoff because we have a president in the White House that cares about people like us,
exactly.
Not only black people like us, but who don't have everything they should have and have just been robbed of everything they had in one way or the other by this. Depression
mm-hmm.
that they want to call something else. But I was here for the real depression, and
mm-hmm.
I want you to know we would have been in a far worse situation.
Mm.
Right? There wouldn't have been any need to write a book on layoffs,
mm.
right? Because then it was permanent.
Right.
All right?
And, exactly.
So that I'm just thankful that you could write a book on the layoffs and that you had the good idea and a great title.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Now, how far have we gone? We have to understand that really what Martin King did
mm-hmm.
was to have a strategy that changed the world we lived in. Had there not been for Martin, there wouldn't have been an Obama.
Right.
And we must understand that. But we must understand, and especially for young people, but for all of us,
right,
that what we are really gaining from is the importance of creating genius.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
Is that W.E.B. Du Bois was the genius. Douglas was
right.
Genius coming right out of slavery. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that if a people don't produce genius, they will be beaten down by others.
Hmm.
All right?
Okay.
If in a culture like ours, if where we say it's individual, but certain groups work together.
Okay.
If we're not working together and have the ability to work together, we will lose in the larger game, right?
Yeah.
And Martin King brought us from downward, moving downward, to coming back up.
Mm.
Gave us an appreciation by this nation, right?
Okay.
That would allow us for the first time to do something that most of us didn't think would happen for at least a couple of generations more, right?
Okay.
And without a Martin, it probably never happened.
Mm.
All right?
Okay.
Because he gave us a strategy that caused us to move forward, and a strategy that allowed us to be appreciated by everybody else in the country and in the world.
Okay.
All right?
Right.
And then we came to the point that we have a president.
Okay.
Some people say, well, it didn't solve all our problems. Those are the people that weren't doing nothing, all right? And they want something handed to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot gain full justice, full goodness in any one leap unless you have an outstanding strategy and you have outstanding people to follow it.
Right.
And you have a unity within the group, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That allow them to work hard at it, is that there are some people that have been given stuff so long,
mm-hmm.
even when they're given the freedom to go far beyond what anybody's going to give them, right?
Okay.
If they take advantage of it and not complain about it, mm-hmm. and appreciate it, right?
Right.
And a great number of the people who really made it happen, right,
mm-hmm.
gain nothing from it but the joy of knowing that black people are now better off since they lived and doing what they
right.
did. Get my point?
I get it.
Is that I've been to two funerals in the last month
mm.
of people that worked in the movement for over 30 years.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And they died poor.
Mm.
But there was a joy in the whole room because everybody in that room that came to be with them because they were their friends
right.
knew that we're part of a fellowship
right.
that is more concerned about achievement of all of our people than the achievement by one person.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the joy of that is something that you can't have if you have not worked for it, if you've not been in it. If you haven't been willing to suffer for it.
Mm.
And those are the earmarks of real success.
Mm.
Right? So that when you ask how far have we come, I tell you what, we've come so far. Not only the appreciation of ourselves, right, number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
having the whole nation appreciate us in a new way, except the lower, the lowest among us in terms of class. Poor white people had a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
But most white people did not, or they would not have voted for Obama.
Right.
That's the proof. We didn't do it by ourselves.
Right.
All
right. Exactly right.
And when it came to voting for Obama, And we've got to understand that we made this nation work together. We gave it the possibility of really being a democracy. And that becomes tremendously important, yeah. Is that to really be a democracy, right? Mm-hmm. Under Martin, the Christian church became more Christian.
Hmm.
Right? Is that so that when we think about everything has been made better in this nation,
mm-hmm.
Even its value system, it was not living up to, right? Martin gave it a chance to live up to its own value system.
Okay.
But had there not been for Obama, it may be that we wouldn't have gotten any further. And they'd say, oh, that's just a one-man thing. That's just a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. And we would have all then been deflated.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But we're still on this upward move, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And all we
mm-hmm.
have to do is keep it in our mind that we are the people that went through 400 years of slavery.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Exactly.
But because really, we didn't get to be free until 1946, huh?
Mm-hmm.
At least. All of that was legal language. It became a reality mm-hmm. after we won it. In the streets of this nation.
Thank you, Dr. Vivian. At this point, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Dr. Ward.
Dr. Vivian, I would like to first say, if there hadn't been a Dr. C.T. Vivian, I truly believe we wouldn't be or have our first black African-American president, President Obama.
That's extremely kind, my sister. But let me tell you, there were thousands who wanted to be like me. There were thousands that were willing. There were thousands of us that were been willing to die for the action. Because what we were waiting for was a strategy.
Mm.
You see what I mean? That we knew we could win with.
Awesome.
And that's what was really important. But that's very nice of you, my sister.
Life After Layoff was birthed from Allie. She was laid off after 13 years with the company. She was blindsided, had no idea that this was happening. However, I know that Guy had a different plan for her. She has now walked into her purpose, which is now writing and having a radio show. I truly feel like as a minister that my purpose and a psychotherapist, my purpose is to serve, uplift, empower, and inspire your people. What advice would you give for people who perhaps are facing a layoff and may need a redirection in their life and their purpose? What advice would you give?
Is that instead of seeing this as a downtime mm-hmm. for them, they need to see that this is a time to give them a chance to make a real change.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us have been in situations where that we're just working.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and as you say, in the book, right, mm-hmm. is that but further is that now's the time to get an education
mm-hmm.
that maybe you wanted and didn't get.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But an education going in a particular direction now, right? That you see that what you've wanted, you know what you've wanted. Most of us who went to college wasn't clear on what we we weren't clear on what we really wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, it was several years before I was called to ministry, right? Mm-hmm. So I was a journalist and two other things in between, right?
Mm-hmm.
But once I was called, hey, it was all over.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know that you what you want, hey, you can really work for it, mm-hmm. and you can really gain it. And even if you get a job in between time,
mm-hmm.
Is that that doesn't mean you can't continue your education.
That's great.
Right? Because once you know what you want, doesn't matter what other job you get, mm-hmm. right? It means that you got to get an education mm-hmm. To fit you for the other job.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a new world today. For instance, the very core of American education is now being changed.
Mm.
In 6 months, you'll see new stuff, right?
Mm, right.
The other thing is that we now see two-year colleges all over the country, not in one place, right?
Right.
So that so that we're in a situation where America is going back to what Booker T. Washington taught us of working with hands.
Good.
Huh?
Good.
And a whole lot of people that went to college for brains are not used today,
mm.
right? Because it wasn't what they really wanted, but their fathers and mothers wanted to say that they were college material, and they were if you know what you want and go get it, most important thing in life.
That's
and this is a letdown time. So if there's been any change, and you'll really work hard at it because you know you've got to.
That is great. Okay, Dr. Vivian, just recently they unveiled a huge honor in the monument that they dedicated to Dr. King. And on the inscription that is on the monument says that if you want to call him a drum major for justice, also call him a drum major for peace and righteousness. What is it that you want to leave as your legacy, and what do you want to be remembered on? Now, mind you, we're not wishing you go anywhere. We want you to stay a long time. But what is it that you wish to be remembered by?
I tell you, is that, do you know where that drum major for justice came from?
One of his sermons, didn't it?
Well, yeah, but why, do you know what was behind his
sermon? No, I
don't. We were going into Memphis.
Okay.
Memphis leadership is also ministerial, right?
Okay.
But some of the fellows had the idea that Martin was thinking that he was coming in to lead them, and that they resented it inside and in their conversations with each other.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
So Martin, in that speech, was talking about, I'm a drum major for justice. I'm just a drum major.
Oh.
See what I mean? I am here to call you out. Mm. You know, I'm the music, you're the real thing.
Oh, wow.
You see what I mean?
Oh, my goodness.
See, Martin was always willing to be take a back seat.
Gotcha.
Willing to do whatever it took to make things work.
Okay.
He never tried to be the anything.
Okay.
But one of the reasons he was the thing, right?
Okay.
Was because he was like that. He wasn't trying to be. He was trying to achieve something far greater than any individual, right? That's why his work continues going now. But he said, I'm just a drum major, right? But what a drum major.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I know I didn't answer your question.
That's fine.
Please give it again.
Thank you for the history lesson.
Yeah, all right.
We want to know pretty much what is it that you want to be remembered by, and what is your legacy that you want to leave with us?
Well, you see, I haven't had time to know yet. See, somebody said you're 88, and I said, yeah. Going on 110.
Right. We hope so. We hope so.
So, I have no idea. The one thing I want to be remembered for, if anything, at this point, right, is that I was fortunate enough to be called by God to ministry, and fortunate enough to not go to seminary where I wanted to go.
Really?
and went to a seminary that I didn't even know was there. But all the other guys, there were half a dozen of us that came there. And as a result of it, we were still in the South. We were still in the heart of the action, what to be.
Wow.
All right? And we were in ministry, so we understood nonviolent direct action.
Wow.
And if you notice, the people who were in ministry in nonviolent direct action is what led us to this level.
So your path was redirected, and it nothing happens by accident.
Well,
that was the plan that God had.
Well, okay. I never argue with that line.
Or maybe some things happen by accident, but still a purpose.
Only God would know what happened by accident and what didn't. I think so. I don't favor great power. it's what you do with whatever happens that makes it important for you. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
It's what you do with the worst of conditions that can make them the best of conditions. You know?
It's funny that you say that, because I feel like that's exactly what I've done.
It's true.
As Dr. Ward made known earlier, I never saw a layoff coming. I thought I had this thing they call job security. No such thing. And so here I was blindsided, but in the midst of that moment, I felt so peaceful that there was something else bigger for me. And so I was okay. From the moment I heard that I was being laid off, I knew that this door was closing for a reason and that God was going to open up another one. He had something bigger for me. And I was so relieved, because the stress and the frustration and the pressure that I had of going to a negative environment every day, and everybody's unhappy, and you know, everybody's afraid that they're going to be the next ones affected. Well, you know, I knew that that's what God had for me, and so I felt comfortable in listening and hearing Him and letting Him lead me. I had been praying for months leading up to that point. God, lead me where You want me to go. Show me what my purpose is. And so I'm so grateful, and so I'm so thankful for being able to sit still and listen to and hear His voice, and to actually step out. And I went to Dr. Ward here and also to my cousin, and I shared my ideas with two people who have been very key and instrumental in encouraging me throughout my life. Because sometimes, you know, you have to be careful sometimes who you share your visions with, but I knew that I could get that encouragement from them, and I guess we've hit the ground running with this, and I'm thankful that God put those divine relationships in my life. So that's very key, what you just said.
And I think what you just said is tremendously important from the standpoint that you were praying before it happened.
Exactly.
And you knew before it was needed that God was there. And that you were at peace with yourself.
Yes.
Because you were already at peace. Because of nothing greater could happen to your life than what was already happening
exactly.
to it.
Exactly.
Right? And you moved from one level to another, one place to another, and may have never discovered about yourself what you discovered because of this downturn.
Right.
Gave you an upturn. Because of your faith.
Exactly.
And that's the most important thing we all have.
Yes,
isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you find yourself spiritually, you know you're ready no matter what happens. The important thing of that, in another sense, is that we are a people that our whole sense from day to day has been based on our faith.
Right.
Right? And it has to be understood that ultimately any people Mm-hmm. Moral and spiritual guidance is what keeps them a people.
Yes.
We're not the only ones, but we are a witness to the fact that it can happen to an individual or it can happen to a whole people.
Exactly. Doc, did you have any takeaways that you wanted to share?
I could take away the whole segment, the whole house. Number one, the peace in the house. It makes us, I know it's time for us to depart, but it really makes us just want to stay and continue on the conversation. One of the biggest things that I hear is, as you stated, our faith. I'm currently reading a book. It's called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. And what it talks about is challenging your fear and allowing your faith to allow you to move forward in any challenges in your life. You stated perfectly that in a time of layoff, that it's important for people to tap in, number one, to their faith and go inside and rediscover who they are.
Precisely.
It may not be what the parents thought that they would be, but it's important that they discover and find their true purpose in life. In their true purpose, they're definitely, number one, helping themselves and helping others. So, in fortitude, that's one of the biggest things and words that stand out to me. We are people of faith and people of fortitude, so definitely having that. And for you, I want to end with saying you exemplify the phrase, each one, reach one. Thank you so much for allowing us into your home. Thank you for departing the knowledge. I feel like you've laid hands on both of us and commissioned us to continue the fight to go forward. So we're here together till 110.
Thank you, my sister.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I wish we had time to continue with this conversation, but we... Once again, we both want to say thank you. We are honored. We are humbled to be in your home. Thank you for opening up your home to us early this morning. I know that I will walk away from here with even more determination to serve, because I feel like this is what God is calling me to do, not only to serve myself to a higher purpose, but also to serve others. And you can't go wrong when you're serving others.
Precisely right.
You can't go wrong.
Precisely.
So as we get ready to close, I wanted to urge everyone to continue to follow us on There Is Life After Layoff and to tune in every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Live Radio at www.atlantaliveradio.com. And please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And please know that we urge you that to stay encouraged and to push past your fear and to know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, know that there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
And now we will hear from Allie and Doc on reflections of that awesome interview. Allie?
Thank you, everyone, for listening and tuning in to our Fireside Chat with Dr. C.T. Vivian. I am still full from all the knowledge and the wisdom that was fed to us on yesterday. I want to once again thank Dr. Vivian so much for allowing us to sit and chat with him. I'm really just in awe of his knowledge and his wisdom, Doc. I know you feel the same way. He's so clear in his thinking. He is a walking piece of history, and what a way to culminate the celebration of Black History Month. I feel so honored and blessed, and it is, we have really, you know, if you really think about it, Doc, we created a documented historical moment in our lives for you and I personally. And we will be able to hold on to that forever. We'll be able to share it with family and friends for years to come. I, for one, will not forget it for a long time. And so I equate it to my 4-year-old son this past weekend went to the circus for the first time. He's still talking about it. That's how excited I am. So, you know, the excitement, I'm like a kid who just met one of their idols for the first time. As you stated in the Fireside Chat, the peace that was in that house was mm-hmm. just, you felt it as soon as you walked in. So any nervousness that I might have been feeling all dissipated as soon as I walked in. He made us feel like old friends. Mm-hmm. And it was a phenomenal experience. And some of the things that I took away from what we talked about and what I heard resonate in me, in my spirit personally, was I heard him talk about the sacrifice, the willingness that the people who've gone before us had. They were willing to suffer and push past any of the fears because they saw the bigger picture. They had a vision, but you know what? He said that was key. They had a vision, but they also had a strategy. There had to be a strategy, and they had to have unity within themselves, among themselves, in order for all of that to work together. And had these people not been willing to make the sacrifices they made, you know, he is absolutely right. We probably would not have our first African-American president today. So I saw that, and in going a little further, I saw the selflessness because they had to make a lot of sacrifices, you know, with their families. You know, they were often met with violence and brutality, but because they had the vision and they knew that they were working towards the bigger picture of us as a people having equal rights, they were willing to take themselves out of the equation and do it for the overall good of society and black people as a whole. And, you know, and also one thing that he said that really resonated in me was the fact that Dr. King was willing to be a follower.
Yeah.
And he did not have to be in the forefront.
Or didn't
and,
want
you know,
to be
I know you, right. In order for it to work, he was willing to do whatever worked in order to make, you know, things work out in the end. And, you know, I know you've heard this before, and it puts me in remembrance of, you know, somebody who once told me, "You, in order to be a good leader, you have to be willing to be a good follower." And that's exactly what Dr. Vivian said about Dr. King. And a lot of people who didn't know Dr. King would not have known that had it not been, like you said, for Dr. Vivian carrying on the message that Dr. King started, and that he worked with so closely with Dr. King in achieving. And I also saw in him as an 88-year young, I'm going to say, a man, his endurance. Mm-hmm. Because he just said, you know, and him sharing his family portrait with us and how his great-grandmother, I believe, you know, lived to 109 and how he's, yeah, aspiring to live to 110 just in honor of, you know, not to surpass her, but to thank her for the good genes that he has, his endurance. So you know what, that puts me in mind, you know, when I'm thinking I'm tired and beat down or I'm worn out, I'm going to thank the Dr. Vivian because, you know, at 88, he doesn't show any signs of slowing down at
all.
And
remember,
you know,
he had just gotten back in town and was leaving the same day as well. So when you talk about endurance, definitely,
right,
that's something to be noted.
Exactly. Now, you know, I could go on and on, but you know what? I'm going to give you the opportunity to share your takeaway and your experience and your views and also to, you know, give us some takeaway from what you heard tonight, and also maybe some growth work and a scripture that we can take with us.
Okay, by all means, and if you hear anything, let's just make sure you chime in and we can just keep the conversation, I'll say, going. When you talk about endurance, one of the first things I remember is coming up the driveway of his house was very steep. It reminded me of a mountain, actually taking a hike up the mountain, and I laughed because I think I was the only person to brave driving up the mountain. Everybody else parked down the driveway because it was so steep. But he travels up and down that driveway several times a day without any thought. Now, this is a man that you said is 88 years young, very seasoned, and as you stated, his endurance. Another thing you stated, too, you said that you were still full. As I listened to the playback, I was smiling all the way through
the conversation because I could remember the peace just being in the presence, and I compared the knowledge that we received to an all-you-can-eat buffet, meaning you are full, but the food is so good that you continue to indulge in it. So that's why I said, you know, my cup runneth over. And when I did the takeaway, I said I could take away the whole house because, as you stated, as soon as you walked in the house, it began painting a picture. He had so many family portraits and paintings on the wall, and not to mention the library that he shared with us. It had to be, what, over 1,000 books or so in that library?
Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness.
And everything told a story about the past, the present, and even the future. And that's why I said the whole house was something to behold, to take away with us. I remember he pulled out that book, and I can't remember the title of the book, but when we looked to see when it was published, it was 1887.
Yes.
So he had books.
Mark of Men, I believe it was.
Okay. And how he was willing to just share the knowledge and the history. And what was also just exciting, too, our cousin, Horace T. Ward, which we definitely have to do a history lesson on him soon. He actually had a book that we recognized that was sticking out of our cousin, Horace, so that was awesome to know, and he was excited. He said he loves how that connection happened, so I love that. And I can't speak enough about how he himself exuded peace and warmth. He was very humble, and he didn't speak of himself and became very bashful when we tried to esteem him. So for him to be able to be a person or a man of his status and still take a seat back was just something to behold as well.
Very humble.
He was very gracious in showing us the portrait of, I think it was six generations of his family, from his mom, his grandparents, and as you stated, his grandmother lived to be 109, and he stated that his goal is to live to 110 and not to surpass her, but to honor her and to thank her for the good genes. And I truly believe that he's well on his way. So
I do too.
and how he spoke of his wife passed 2 years ago. I think he affectionately stated that she was known as Baby. Is that correct?
Yes.
And
I recall
so even
that.
Sharing that intimate piece with us and just looking at her, I was compelled to even do research on her because I know beside every great man is a great woman. So my research on her, Octavia Vivian is her name. She did the first biography of Coretta Scott King that she wrote and published in 1970. And she revised it and republished it again in 2006 when Miss King passed. So that was phenomenal within itself. And I knew she had to be a great woman. I just knew that. Those are a lot of my takeaway. Most importantly, I feel like you can't teach a person to be kind and genuine. And I feel like he's a person that never meets a stranger.
Yes. He was so welcoming, and I just felt so comfortable while I, you know, from the moment I walked into the house to the moment we left, I was so comfortable.
And even the humor, you know, not stuffy at all.
I remember
as we were prepping, he said, "How does my hair look?"
Exactly.
He made a joke about any hair is good hair. even the humor, team involved was just, it was a great experience. I urge people to sit at the feet of
elders,
a seasoned person, because, again, you can't buy the knowledge, number one, in the spirit. It does something. It
literally you can feel your body and your spirit perking up when you sit in the midst of seasoned people, in the midst of greatness. And that's,
exactly.
That's another thing. As you stated, it's something that, like you said, even with your son, it's something that you're going to remember, and almost like a kid in a candy store at a circus.
Right.
It was like, oh, my God, I got this opportunity, and it's definitely not one to be taken lightly. So, again, those are my takeaway. Was there anything else that you can remember that kind of stood out to you about that moment?
Well, you know, just his willingness, and you know, not only did we see, you know, that we were ourselves excited, he was more than willing to share his knowledge. Because I can remember before we even started the interview, we were in his library, and he was just sharing all this information, and I joked before the show, and I said he gave my mind and my brain a workout. And, in a good way, though, because he makes you think. He makes you think. And it was things that you don't normally think about on a daily basis. And you know what? You have to say, you know, stuff that we really take for granted oftentimes, especially as a people. Like you said, we were the only people that, you know, really went through 400 years of slavery and just really, like he said, became free in, what do you say, 1946.
Right.
And you think
not
about all of that.
All.
Not long at all. And you think about that and you say, oh, my goodness. So then it puts me in mind that, you know, when I start to complain or I want to complain, that let me be mindful of my ancestors who went before me, who made these sacrifices so that I can be free and so that I can sit here and talk to you on the radio and, you know, and share this history. You know, I don't have any reason to complain at all. You know, I think about what him and all the other freedom riders had to have endured when they were met with such violence and you know, people trying to burn them on the bus and all of that, just so that they can have equal rights and just be treated as human beings. Who am I to complain? You know, and it makes you just really be mindful of where we've come. And like you said, we have come far, but because they were willing to sacrifice and go through and endure, we now can celebrate the fact that we do have our first African-American president. Probably, like he said before, it's time.
I actually, I know you remember he stated that he had just gotten back, and it was a small town that he spoke, and there were over 1,000 people that came out to be a part of that program. And I read a write-up, actually, that was a day ago regarding that, and it talked about how two small children came up to ask a question at the mic. The first young child asked a question about the Underground Railroad, and he answered, and they said that when he saw the children come to the mic, how his whole body language just changed, and you could tell that he was so excited and impressed by these small children, the thirst and the knowledge. And after he answered the question, this is what stood out to me. He said, don't stop asking questions. And I think that's so important for our listeners, no matter how young or old you are, never stop asking questions. We've been told that no question is a stupid question, but the question that's not asked. And we've often talked about disappointments, fears, and I told you I feel like the more disappointments that people have in their life, the more fearful they become. And that goes to we stop asking questions. So that's something I definitely want our listeners to take away. Never stop asking questions. Never stop thirsting for knowledge. And the writer of this article also stated, or something that he saw, he said Dr. Vivian never talked once about himself. And he said, maybe I should have been, I should not have been surprised, he said, but he was so impressed and struck with the fact that he never esteemed himself. And I, as we mentioned earlier, that's something that we saw as well. So a man full of knowledge and a wealth of just accolades, but he never speaks of himself and he never esteems himself highly. So those are some important points. Any comments? If not, what I can do is go into the practical solutions that I would like to leave with our listeners.
That's fine, yes.
Okay. First and foremost, I would like our listeners to know, do not ever feel like it's too late to discover or rediscover your life purpose. And I want to leave you with this quote. If you find something you love doing, you never have to work a day in your life. So if you tap into or rediscover what your life purpose is and you find it and you love it, you never have to look at it as a job or as a place where you have to go to work. Number two, it's always good to plan, but remember, things may not always go according to your plans. So be open to change and allow God to direct your steps. Yes, it's important for us to have a plan, but don't feel that you have to be so rigid that everything has to go according to that plan, because God is always in the midst. So remember to always allow him to direct your steps. Number three, find ways to decrease the stress in your life via your spirituality, exercising, eating right, and or spending time with people that pour back into your life. And above all, live a life of love and peace. Tonight I'll leave you with two scriptures, and the first one is Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The second scripture is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Your growth assignment tonight is identify ways to eliminate the excess stress in your life. Be blessed.
Wow. You know, that scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, that spoke directly to me. I heard that that peace that I received when I found out that I was being laid off. He had a plan for me, and I believe that my reaction in that moment would have really made the difference in my being able to hear him elevate me to envision there is life after layoff.
So true.
I had to sit still and be mindful of God speaking in my life. And I had to, you know, finally get to a point where I had to be the one to make the choice and make the decision on which path did I want to choose. Was I going to continue to walk towards frustration and negativity and anger? Or was I going to choose the path of seeking God's peace, the peace that he's already given us, mind you? I chose the path, the narrow path, mind you, of peace. And I believe that my choice of, you know, diligently, finally deciding to diligently seek his peace is what made all the difference in where I'm at right now today. Now, I'd like to take this moment to thank you, Doc, first of all, for your takeaways and for those scriptures, because as I said, they're always on point, and it really spoke to me tonight. So I'm going to go home and do some growth work myself, and I'm going to study that scripture even more. And I want to remind those of you who signed up to join our virtual book club, please keep reading The Shack by William P. Young. And please mark your calendar for Tuesday, March 26th, and make plans to join our on-air book club discussion. For those of you who wish to make comments regarding tonight's show, unfortunately we did not take callers tonight because it was a pre-recorded show, but you can make those comments next week. You can either call in to the live show at 347-324-5246 next week, or you can even email us directly through thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com, or you can even tweet me your comments, and we will read them on air. My tweet address is at AllieWard45. And Doc and I both thank you for joining us. We remind you to continue to tune in and follow us every Tuesday evening between 7 and 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And please, please continue to follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And as I stated, thank you for joining us for our special edition of There is Life After Layoff with our fireside chat with Dr. C.T. Vivian. Continue to join us on this journey. Take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember that there is life after layoff. Now, as we end and close tonight, I urge you to listen very closely to our theme song, Failure Is Not Final, by Palmer Williams, Jr. Listen to the words. Let it resonate in your spirit, because they will bless you. Thank you, and good night.
Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No, testimony, testimony, testimony.
the devil's a dealing. In between the problem and the promise, yet we must trust and believe. For the only freedom I have ever known has come from you alone.